cornhole.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lateman. A guilty verdict for a man accused of killing a woman at a McDonald's drive-thru in Jacksonville. The jury says Rashid Kareem killed 32-year-old Jamie Roque Lawyer as she was waiting in her car at the restaurant in Bay Meadows on August 10th, 2018. Kareem will be sentenced on three charges in March. Members of Roque Lawyer's family say it was hard to watch the trial. They plan to honor her with a foundation to help domestic violence called Jamie's Way Out. A mystery solved off the coast of St. Augustine. First Coast News reports scientists have identified a ship submerged offshore as the Cotopaxi, a steamer thought to have vanished in the Bermuda Triangle in the 20s. 32 people died. The ship, also part of movie history, pictured in the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind, sitting in the desert. Now scientists say measurements debunk the myth that the ship was lost forever in the Bermuda Triangle. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. Currently, we see no broken down cars, backups, or accidents on our major highways. I-10 looks okay. 95, 295, and J. Turner Butler Boulevard, they're all problem-free. Overcast today and showers at times. Our high will be 68. This evening, cloudy early, and then we can expect on and off rain throughout the evening. Overnight, the low will drop to 51. Right now, 56 degrees here at WBOB. And here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Senate Republicans are growing confident they have the votes to block impeachment witnesses. A new Gallup poll finds Americans' take on the U.S. has improved, but is still mixed. And with local newspapers dwindling in the U.S., some news editors are advocating for government subsidies to keep them alive.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
How much rain are we looking at today and this weekend again?
40% chance of rain today, tonight, and tomorrow. So almost 50-50 chance on and off.
We'll get some showers. Yeah, because I know South Florida, man, it's going to get soaked down there.
Yeah.
So much for the Super Bowl, huh? But I mean,
yeah,
it's inside.
I didn't think about that. That's right. Yeah.
Why can't we keep these games outside to make it more interesting? All right. 4 minutes after 6 a.m. Good to have everybody here. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, all the way with you tonight a.m. Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's do it. Ed and Roger, a lot of news to get to today. Let's do it. The economy, fourth quarter GDP numbers did not get to 3%. It did have a modest growth of 2.3. Remember, this was exceptional in the Obama years, but the president did, let's be honest, he opened his mouth, said, it's going to be great, it's going to be huge. I mean, last year, technically, we had 3% GDP. Some say it was 2.9, 3.1. This year, they missed the mark. I think a lot of it had to do, of course, with the trade war. But the bottom line is, how well is this going to do coming up for the later amount of this year?
The U.S. economy grew at a moderate 2.1% annual rate in the final 3 months of last year. That matches the gain of the third quarter. It puts the yearly growth figure at 2.3%, the lowest in 3 years.
Now, again, this was exceptional growth in the Obama years. But then again, let's be honest, the media and some of the Democrats are going to have a field day with this because the president talked about having 3% GDP. And I think we did as it last year. Some quarters you've seen almost 4%. But I think the bottom line is you got two things that are happening right now. You got an election season, and we don't know what's going to happen with the final phase two of the trade with China.
Exactly. But you know, let's be optimistic as we can. You know, this is gangbusters compared to the last time a Democrat was in the White House, and we are not doing too bad, although we could be doing better. And again, as you were pointing to, that probably it points to the trade war with China, which is coming to an end.
The exception is what will take place. Investment banker Carol Roth says that once this trade thing gets going, the economy can go on to a longer performance throughout the rest of the year.
The fact that we did not have great policies under Obama and we had a very slow recovery. And then certainly with President Trump and his fiscal policy and cutting taxes, that just added fuel. So I think that if we can get trade resolved, I think that's the key issue. I'm not sure the Fed is really going to be able to do it.
Well, when it comes to the issue of the president, as you know, he says he wants to have another stimulus, not like the Obama stimulus, but another round of tax cuts to get the economy going. This is going to be a very interesting discussion. As you do know, the deficit has gone up, not because of the tax cuts, but because of the amount of spending that's been taking place. But even the Wall Street Journal's Dan Hedinger says with the tax cuts that have worked, he goes, even them, and by the way, the Wall Street Journal hasn't been fans of President Trump. You know that when he ran for office.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a fans of his trade deal, But Henninger says that the tax cuts have been very impressive.
I think it's probably the strongest case he has, along with the Supreme Court appointments. I mean, I have just been so struck, Paul. I think we thought the tax cuts, the corporate tax rate cuts would work, deregulation would work. I would never have guessed that it would create as many jobs as it has, and especially bringing down the unemployment rate for Black and Hispanic Americans, single women, and wages rising for these people.
But what about for the rest of the year? How will Democrats talk about this? Stephen Moore, economist, says Democrats will try to get and gain the upper ground, even though it's still modest growth, not where they want to be. But he says, let's go back. Moore says, remember when the Dems were predicting doom and gloom if Trump got elected.
And by the way, it's a little rich, for my friend Austin to say this is just a continuation of the Obama economy. When I debated all these economists, including Austin, 4 years ago, and you remember this, Laura, they said if Donald Trump is elected president, he's going to cause a global, financial crisis that the worst in history, and that he would cause even a second Great Depression. Now we have this booming economy, and the Obama people say, oh, this is a continuation of the trends. The problem, Austin, with that, line of reasoning is Trump has come in and reversed so many of the policies that Obama came in.
But here's the interesting thing. Do the Democrats have cover? Because let's be honest, the president was out there bragging about having 3-4, even some cases, maybe 5% growth. And I think that would have been possible without all the tariff nonsense going on out there.
Right.
As you point out, this is what happened. This was exceptional under the Obama years. But the bottom line is I think it does occasionally, whether you agree with this or not, but I think it does, it will give the Democrats and some media a little bit of political fodder. They're going to come out and say, well, this is no different than what we saw with the economic growth of the Obama years.
Yeah, that's the argument the Republicans are going to have to make, and the president will have to make, that compared to the Obama years, this is still gangbusters. It was a hiccup because of the trade war with China. That's over with right now. Things are looking brighter, and let's see how the next quarter ends up looking.
Roger, a new Gallup poll has come out, and Americans have a more of, would say, optimistic view when it comes to the economy and things in the U.S. Things have gotten better when they look at how has it been since President Trump when he got elected. According to Gallup, dissatisfaction still runs high among numerous domestic issues, but overall on top key issues, people are happy with what is going on in the world today and also here in the country. With that news report, Fox Business News anchor Lou Dobbs.
And new Gallup surveys also with impressive revelations showing Americans have become far more satisfied in a number of areas since the president took office. The largest gains are the economy, national security, military strength, and race relations, all improving dramatically.
Wow.
Over that time. There have also been major satisfaction gains in government in crime reduction policies, the position of minorities, income and wealth distribution, and the number of opportunities to get ahead.
Now, again, there are some mixed results, as you just heard, double-digit increases when it comes to satisfaction with the nation's economy, security when it comes with terrorism, military strength, the state of race relations.
Yeah.
Is even up. Oh, by the way, it gets better satisfaction on crime, that people are happy with that. Racial minorities, the distribution of income and wealth. Uh-oh, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
The acceptance of gays and lesbians. Remember, we were told, oh, my word. This is the next era. We were told this is a new era of Jim Crow against the LGBT crowd. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Evidently, the acceptance of that has gone up by almost 20 points.
Exactly. In fact, I have an old college roommate. Wasn't a roommate, but he lived in the dorms with us. Talked to him on election night. He was so depressed that Trump had gotten elected. I literally had to talk him out of killing himself. He was that
word.
Upset.
And even healthcare. Now, Roger, there are big areas where they say they're less satisfied with abortion, the environment, and the level of immigration. It even goes further. When you look at the high and the mixed results, another area where the majority of people were not happy with, in other words, the numbers have gone down. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The performance of the federal government, the system and how government and how it works, it's down majorly. The role of the U.S. in world affairs and the size and power of the federal government, double digits went down since with President Trump. Could you imagine this had been Obama?
I know. Imagine that. I'm thinking of Nancy Pelosi's quote, how America has a pep in its step right now.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, I think things, some things should be considered consistent out there.
Yeah.
You know, if this had been Obama, but, you know, with the economy, will Republicans talk about the deficit? Will they talk about, again, 2.3 modest growth? Will they defend it? Will this, because remember, this was modest on the Obama years. So I'm just going to see if there's any consistency in groups on my side of the aisle here.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see if there's consistency. And, you know, I'd like to look into the numbers to see which groups, if you can break down the demographics, are looking more optimistically toward America's future.
When it comes to the issue of gender or race, I think it's a great conversation to have. Oh, wait a second. What about talking it about with your children out there? A new research by Sesame Street and the Sesame Street Workshop says not enough parents are talking about the issue of race and gender. News 4 Jax.
The majority of parents rarely, if ever, discuss race, ethnicity, gender, class, or other factors that make up social identities with their kids. It's according to a new study by researchers at Sesame Street. So if you've ever found this conversation difficult to have with your own children, fear not. There are easy ways to get this discussion started. Sesame and NORC at the University of Chicago conducted a nationwide survey of more than 6,000 parents and found 68% of the respondents felt race has some impact on a child's ability to succeed.
Okay, some impact, not a big impact, but some impact. 68% said, you know, race may or so, which means they still kind of figure that maybe somebody may not be able to make it based on their skin color.
Here's the deal. You know, I've got little girls who are now young ladies, and when they were younger, we didn't really make a big deal about race, to be frank with you. I didn't want them thinking of themselves as a victim class.
Here's more of the clip.
But 60% rarely discuss race or ethnicity or social class.
Now, I'm going to get more of this in just a few moments. You know, Roger, that was the same thing with us. We didn't look down because somebody was black or white.
Right.
We just wanted to, hey, let's go out and play. Let's go play some basketball.
I think it was,
we never talked about race.
I think it was important for people to understand their history, their heritage, their ancestry. But at the same time, I did not drill into them that they were this and they were different than anyone else. And now, man, all things equal, my daughters have been successful.
Now, I know you tell me about them all. You talk about them all the time over the year.
I brag about them.
And, by the way, they go to good schools, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, hey, coming up next, you guys ready for this? Newspapers again shutting down, and more editors are coming out saying that the government needs to step in and fund local newspapers, not throughout the country, but even here in the state of Florida. Wait till you hear all of these clips. Coming up next, we are loaded up with guests today. And we're going to have some, Barney Bishop's going to join us here in a few minutes as well. Again, a lot of issues as we continue to move along. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
No active accidents, but there is a broken down vehicle on I-95 heading south before Atlantic Boulevard. Also, congestion building up on I-95 northbound approaching the Fuller Warren Bridge and the ramp to I-10. And also in the opposite direction, 95 southbound at the ramp to Union Street near downtown.
Cloudy today with some occasional rain. Our high will be 68 degrees. This evening, cloudy with a shower overnight, 51 the low. Right now, it's 56 degrees.
The Everglades. Previously stretching from Kissimmee to the Florida Keys, home to thousands of species of plants and animals, and an ecosystem found nowhere else on Earth, is half its original size and starved of water. To learn more and to help restore America's Everglades, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying the first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Things before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It's not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, love you. Okay,
Daddy.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right, Ed Dean, good to have you here. Colonel Michael Waltz is going to join us. Barney Bishop, Ron Davis, got a lot of issues, man. Voter purging. Oh, my word. We're going to get to all of that here in just a little bit. Don't forget the podcast coming up later this morning at 9 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's continue on with the news. I'm your host, Ed Dean. When it comes to the issue, and I love talking about a lot of other issues out there, as you do know, we talk about Ray's big issue, voter purging, the taxes, of course, what's also going on with impeachment and all the other nonsense out there. But as a journalist, I will tell you for years, as an economics reporter, and now, of course, with one of the big publications here in the state, FloridaDaily.com, we oversee, of course, a lot of that publication also with this radio show every day. But the question is, the success of a publication is determined about the ad revenue you can bring in. Yes, you're going to have a lot of people subscribe, which also derives and generates a lot of revenue for a local newspaper out there. But if a local newspaper can't make it, why? I mean, we're at the age of the internet. A lot of people read it on their computers as well. You know what I'm saying?
Starbucks saying goodbye to newspapers. Starbucks dropping big names like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and USA Today from its store shelf.
And the reason why is it creates more room for many companies because a lot of people are reading their news online. Here is Reed Wilson, the Hill.com campaign reporter. He says, and I'm setting this up because there's another move out there where editors for local newspapers say, oh my word, we got to keep the newspapers around. It's Americana out there. We need to have the government come in and fund this out there. Reed Wilson, Hill.com campaign reporter, says that when it comes to the news, Roger, when you look at the polls out there, more people, are you ready for this? Trust in their local news source than their national news source.
People have a lot more trust in especially their local news organizations than they would in some of these big national ones. But when we say media, people sort of default to these national cable or news outlets that have an editorial a bent by design. That's how they make their money.
Well, and I think describing them as infotainment is important.
Did you hear what he says? They have a bent by design. Do you know what, you know,
a bias.
Yeah, there is a bias. Now, our local news, your local newspaper, whether it is the Orlando Sentinel, the Press Journal, the Times Union, yeah, most of these guys are a bunch of libs. Just read their editorials.
And you know what? I don't think they deny it, to be frank with you.
Well, no,
but
here's the thing. They don't go way out of their way to become liberals like you see in some of the national networks. And the reason why? The national networks are going to make their money one way or the other. The local newspapers don't want to tick off a bunch of business owners. Business owners tend to be a little bit more fiscally conservative, don't want to put up with all this nonsense.
Yes. Yes, and that's what it is. And when you look at the editorial boards and the editorial pages, that really tells you where the newspaper stands.
But here we go. This is from a group of reporters out there now being interviewed. Chuck Plunkett, the former editor of the Denver Post, says newspapers are going out of existence out there. They are shutting up shop. And guess what? In order to keep them alive, we need to look at maybe a public option funding. Public option, that is a code word for government subsidies.
I came around to the idea that a public funding option to help subsidize, to help backfill some of that 80% of the revenue that's been lost is going to be critically important to keeping our democracy alive and healthy. We need our watchdogs. We need the people who are journalistically trained to get out there. You need a source that you can go to that's reliable, that speaks for the community.
Now, watchdog for who out there? He also says that, Roger, we with 2,000 papers closing over the last 15, 16 years, we've laid off many newspaper editors and reporters out there. Listen to what he says. If you have less reporters, then who's going to report on the crime? Taxes will go up. There will be no accountability out there.
Studies have shown that when there are fewer reporters in communities, that corruption inevitably starts to grow, taxes start to go up, voter participation starts to...
Well, you know, we've actually, it's kind of interesting, you've got less reporters at the Times Unions, and they're reporting on, quote, corruption with power companies like JEA. So the question is, do you buy into that? Here is Charles Sennett. He's with a group called Report for America. He says all these newspapers closing up, he says it's a crisis for the U.S.
The crisis in journalism in America has become a real crisis for our democracy. So, as you pointed out, there are newsrooms across the country that are seeing their staffs decimated. We're seeing communities where their news organizations have just closed up and gone away. There are 2,000 newspapers that have completely shut down. No one watching the store from small towns to medium-sized cities. When we lose 30,000 reporting jobs, as we have in the last 10 years, what we lose is an ability for us to have a shared set of facts on a local...
You know, but here's the problem with all this, a shared set of facts. When you look what's been going on in the age of Trump, where you've got over 90%+ negativity on the impeachment, 90%+ negativity, except excluding the economy all over the map, nobody talks about some sort of shared equity of news coverage out there. Nobody's going to... Whether you agree with it or not, no one's going to buy into that comment.
It all boils down to the economy and the fact that, to be frank with you, in 2020, the market for printed paper is not there. People don't want to get their news primarily that way anymore.
Right.
And that's really what the newspapers are grappling with.
And you've got two or three reporters. I mean, I know Roger does it around many of these stations. I mean, you've got to cover so many of this and that news, and I've seen a lot of that take place. The bottom line is that if a newspaper's closing up, you have to adjust in the sign of the times. I've done it. Several other people are doing it out there. But when they come out, and I understand, I want to see more local newspapers out there. I want to see more local coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You do see a lot of it online. The difference is one is newsprint, the other one isn't. You still get an evidence. The Times Union, the Vero Beach Press Journal, the Orlando Sentinel, the Florida Today do a lot of it online. I get a lot of their updates. Does that mean that journalism integrity is going down? No.
Not at all. In fact, if it's going to go to government subsidy, maybe there can be a marriage between what's going on in journalism and maybe some of our colleges and even high schools to have them get the news out that way. If we're paying for it, let's make sure it's an educational investment as well.
How many of y'all saw the Senate impeachment trial take place? I watched a little bit of it. You know, we get a few clips here. It just gets boring. I mean, I've seen Days of Our Lives more exciting soap operas than how to watch that. But anyway, having said that, you ready for this? CNN, John King. Remember Rand Paul wanted to ask a question, didn't get read about the whistleblower? Chief Justice Roberts didn't want to read it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And John King from CNN says, well, wait a second. Technically, don't the Republicans have a point that if you're going to talk about the impeachment of a sitting president, should not the whistleblower be questioned?
Republicans make a good point. The whistleblower started all this. Why has the whistleblower never been questioned? Shouldn't the House Democrats have found a secure way to do that? It's a legitimate point
of debate
as we go through this. Is outing the whistleblower in a public setting the way to make your point? I think we could have a conversation about that. But you're asking the Congress, the Senate now, to remove the President of the United States. It's a legitimate point for the President's team of the Republicans to say, shouldn't we go to the very origin of this?
I think it's a valid question. I know when you look back on all this, and my point is I think there was probably a little bit more drama. I don't know. I would have liked to seen... Well, I'm just saying they said this thing was going to be done in a couple of days.
Drama? It's been boring.
It's been boring. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, no, they thought with the drama, with the witness, you know, they're going to be, you know, John Bolton.
Uh-huh.
This is all pretty much turned into a nothing burger out there for these guys. My question is, just set aside the impeachment Senate trial. Where does this go next, Roger?
It goes next
Sunday morning quarterbacking for how many weeks now?
I think we're going to see the biggest impact of what's going on right now in November. I think what's going to end up happening is that the Democrats will be able to run on something. See, your Republicans in the Congress and the U.S. Senate, they didn't even want you to know. I think there are going to be a lot of liabilities politically. Not a whole lot.
I don't think so.
It could tip the scales. We could end up, we could end up changing to some extent who was serving in both the House and in the U.S. Senate as a result of this, because now Democrats are going to have something to run on. And
8 months later, 9 months later, the impeachment thing's still going to hold over?
I, you know what? I just don't see there any winners in this, except maybe, you know, the president's legal team. I think that those lawyers, their stock as lawyers, were probably going to go through the roof. Obviously, most people have their minds made up already, but I think because of this, I can't just see any major winners on either side.
Okay, hold on, but you mean you think people are going to lose their seats based on this?
I don't think it's going to be en masse, but I think a couple are probably going to be vulnerable. I think, as you mentioned, you know, back during the Clinton impeachment, who ended up paying the price?
It was a few Republicans, but it was, you know, Dick Morris and these guys were predicting they were going to win by 21 seats, and they lost 5 to 6 seats out there in 1998. So does Roger have a point? Is there going to be some consequences?
I'm just wondering, you know, it almost comes across like, what do you have to hide? Why don't you want us to hear the truth?
Well, you know, I've told you, I would have loved to see witnesses. I want to see some of these people exposed. I think this next, you've got Carter Page, who's got lawsuits, by the way, against the DNC and other for trying to use his name and exploited to have to go after the FISA court and investigate the Trump campaign. That's going to be one of the next shoe to drop. But also, what may happen if the springtime or the summertime, John Durham, the deputy attorney general, the office there, on what they may find out, if there's going to be any consequences with the rest from this whole FISA scandal on the investigation into the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
That, to me, is where the next shoe is going to drop. Barney Bishop, former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, is going to join us. Colonel Michael Waltz, we got a lot of news to get to. Voter purging out there. And yes, it is affecting minorities. I'm the first one to admit it, but not the way you may think it is. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831-0600-904-831-0600. We got the Eric Eichenberg from the Everglades Foundation. I think our old friend Bill Hurley from the National Federation of Independent Business, they're trying to push tort reform in the Florida legislature this year. But I don't think it's one of these where they're trying to put caps. I think they're just trying to limit the amount of, in certain areas, for example, you have industries like the nursing home industry. You have whether or not we need to put malpractice caps. So I think there's a little interesting in how they're going to incrementally do some of the tort reform. So they're going to come down that route. By the way, Roger, I'm not the first one. I know it's easy to paint a picture that if you go to church, you're automatically some social right-wing conservative, that if you're a certain skin color, you're automatically liberal. I don't buy into that. Another thing I've always said, I don't buy into it just because you're a trial lawyer, you're automatically some filthy liberal because you're against the death penalty, whatever. There are a lot of right-wing trial lawyers out there. Yeah. You and I both know that.
Oh, so. Yeah, absolutely.
904-831-0600. 904-831-0600. Coming up in a few moments, voter purging. Yes, I have the clip, and I agree. It is affecting those in the black community. I admit it, but not for the reasons you think it is. Oh, really? What are the reasons, Ed?
I'm curious.
Wait till I play. It even shocked me when I heard this clip last night. And by the way, it come from NPR, out of all places. 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. The prospect of more witnesses being called in the impeachment trial of President Trump has been all but dashed. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee says he'll oppose calling more witnesses, boosting the likelihood the Senate will soon vote to acquit Mr. Trump. The presidents of the EU institutions have pledged that the bloc will continue playing a major role on the international stage despite the departure of Britain. The UK officially leaves the Continental Alliance at midnight Brussels time. The US advised against all travel to China as the number of cases of a worrying new virus spiked more than tenfold in a week, including the highest death toll in a 24-hour period. The virus has infected almost 10,000 people globally in just 2 months. And shares were mixed in Europe and Asia of today, with Britain's FTSE 100 slightly lower. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lateman. Police investigating after a woman's body washed up along the St. Johns River. A homeowner walking his dog near Ortega Boulevard found the remains in the rocks around 7:30 Thursday night and called 911. Authorities said the woman was apparently in her 20s or 30s and had been in the water at least 24 hours. No indication yet who she was or what happened to her. A father from Jacksonville hoping for answers after a fatal crash earlier in this week killed his son. 21-year-old Joseph Giardo died in a two-car collision on North 3rd Street Monday night. Police say speed was likely a factor, but they still don't know just what happened. Investigators say the other driver involved has been in the hospital and is expected to survive. Giardo says Joseph was on his way home from his job at Winn-Dixie in Pontevedra at the time, and his son was a hard-working young man trying to put himself through college to study engineering. Police say their investigation is ongoing. That's Jacksonville.radio News.
Join me, Dr. G, on the next America First, where I'll recap the first day of the Senate trial of President Donald Trump with Congressman Steve Scalise and the newest member of the Trump campaign, Boris Epstein. Then talk to the Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt, live from the SHOT Show in Vegas, and John Lott on the latest attempts from the left to take away your God-given Second Amendment rights to protect yourself and our republic from tyranny.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, weekdays 3 till 5 on WBO. Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Well, my voice is back to normal, and the roads are pretty normal for the most part. We do have our typical traffic on 103rd Street right before 295. Just add a couple of minutes. And if you see something out there, give me a call. 901-SAFE. 901-7233.
Cloudy today with some occasional rain. Our high will be 68 degrees. This evening cloudy with a shower overnight. 51 the low. Right now it's 56 degrees. And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new Gallup poll finds Americans' take on the U.S. has improved but still is mixed. With local newspapers dwindling in the U.S., some news editors are advocating for government subsidies to keep them alive. And the U.S. economy grew at a modest 2.3% rate in 2019.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Well, Barney was just texting me a few moments ago, so anyway, he's probably getting ready to go out hunting or something today. Anyway,
hot cup of coffee. That's what.
Yeah. By the way, where's that Ron coming in with a cup of coffee today? I shouldn't have said that.
I just got a text from him. I don't know.
All right. 831-0600, 904-831-0600, talk radio WBOB. All right, let's continue on with the news. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Roger, there's been news reports over this past week. Remember when, oh man, I was going to play this clip. I don't have it set up here. Remember when ODB, Old Dirty Bernie Sanders came out? Hey, wait, you don't even know what the cost of your programs is? Remember from Norah O'Donnell? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows the programs. Well, now Yahoo News had a story come out this past week that he's, I guess maybe other people are feeling the burn, that Bernie Sanders is not being truthful when it comes to how and what taxes he's going to raise to pay for his Medicare for All plan.
And some other tax ideas coming out of this 2020 race, like a wealth tax. Democrats also want to raise capital gains taxes by double digits, all want to raise that tax to 39.6%. That's almost a 20% increase.
From the Fox Business Network, that was Hillary Vaughn. Remember the story we talked about where Democrats are now saying that, well, if an estate tax is not that popular, they don't think it brings in enough revenue. Instead, there he is right there. Let's go with the inheritance tax.
Such as estate and inheritance taxes. And Americans, by the way, are going to inherit a lot. Check this number out. This year alone, $764 billion. Democrats see this as a real nice honeypot to pay for their programs. But hasn't this money already been taxed enough? Of course, there was an article, a former Obama official saying this money's only taxed at 2%. It doesn't make sense because wages for work are taxed at higher levels. And so they're making the argument, why not go after this money? That's a whole lot of money.
So there you go. So the difference in the state tax, from what I understand, and for your, but you know, well, Ed, you've been an economic, I know, sometimes the laws change. The estate tax means you pay on certain things that based on a certain amount, what has been left to you. Inheritance means that if you get money and stuff and you want to use it to live off of, they want to tax you on top of that as well.
Okay, I was kind of curious as to what the difference was.
What's going on here on our Newsmaker line, a very well-known columnist, former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, Barney Bishop. So, Barney, let me set this up. I am done to, well, I don't mean done. I mean, when we talk about the issues of tax increases, sooner or later, Barney, and I want to get to the Republicans here in a moment. I want to talk about the morality of this, but sooner or later, whether it's ODB, Old Dirty Bernie, Joe Biden, whatever, they talk about raising the inheritance tax, the estate tax, the gradual increase in the income tax, the capital. I mean, they don't want to stop anywhere. Barney, sooner or later, and you still are a Democrat, but you even as a conservative Democrat would have to ask this. Sooner or later, you got to tell me, where are you going to come up with the amount of money for all these spending programs out there? Sooner or later, the media's got to start nailing these Dems, you would think, right?
Well, no, because the newspapers because the newspapers are so overwrought and so liberal that they're going to take the Democrats and they'll minimize that part of the story. Listen, the only newspaper that I read is the Wall Street Journal, and thank God that they're economically and fiscally conservative. But the truth of the matter is there's not enough money in the United States to pay for everything that the Democrats want to make free. Those people need to move to Europe. That's a failed example over there.
Right.
And that's where they need to go. It's not going to work here.
Do you read the Journal online or you get the typical print?
No, I get it every day in print.
You're still old school.
I am, absolutely. I like the local newspaper and the Wall Street Journal with print.
All right. You like the Tallahassee Democrat? Okay, anyway, we'll get to that in a moment.
No, I don't like the Tallahassee Democrat. I get it so I know what's happening in town.
Oh,
they're
okay.
About as far left as everything else in the mainstream media.
Here's it. I want to get to that in a moment. Here's the thing that the argument, I mean, this really, you know, I don't get worked up. You're one of my good friends. You know, I don't get worked up by a whole, maybe when I go hunting with you and I see a buck and it's not big enough that I want. Okay, that might irk me a little bit. But you know what bothers me? Is I do on both sides. I mean, the morality from the Democrats is that it's not enough fair and equitable out there. You got Elizabeth Warren and the rest of these guys saying that tax increases will produce a better economy. Then the morality part is everybody thinks that the rich should pay their fair share. Then Republicans get caught up in this trap. I get it as well, because I like tax cuts because we know that tax cuts will derive more revenue. Barney, why are we not having and this is where I'm getting what I'm talking about getting irked. Why are we not having a conversation? I want to sit back and go, why should I pay more? I earned it. The morality base is, if I paid in all these taxes, why shouldn't I get a tax cut? Barney, we've lost the argument. It's my money. We're not talking about the morality of right and wrong. We're too busy talking about the morality of making it equitable coming from that side of the left. And I think Republicans fall into that trap.
Well, they do only because the newspapers and the media set it up that way. The reality of it is our kids are being brainwashed every day by liberals, and as a result, things that are happening, changes are being made in our lifestyle, in our social mores in this country, to the detriment of families. Look, Republicans want to help other people, but we want to help, and I say we because I'm a Democrat that someday may become a Republican. We want to help people that want to help themselves. We don't want handouts, except for babies and old and elderly people and disabled people. Everybody else that can work, you should be working. And there are hundreds of thousands of jobs across this country. There's thousands of jobs in the state of Florida, and people aren't willing to work because they're dependent on the government to give them a handout. Those people that can work must work. If you don't, you shouldn't get anything.
All right, Barney.
You're lazy.
Barney Bishop is the former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party. Barney, a issue we have covered at FloridaDaily.com. To me, when you've done these, you know, you're a big wig, and you still are. I'm talking when you were in the Democratic Party, you still are. I'm saying,
but
Roger, follow me for a second, Barney. Barney and I have done, and I love watching Barney. We do these, not focus groups. You and I do a lot of panel forums, and I love watching Barney go off, man. Barney is just awesome. Having said this, on the issue of, and you say, yeah, this is not a politically a topic, and I mean sexy. I'm talking in the sense of, you know, people just, hey, it arouses their mentality on this issue. When you talk about the issue of nurses and doctors putting me to sleep, but when you talk about, hey, when a family is waiting to get a prescription, when a family's waiting for medicine, and there's a law that sits back says is a nurse or a nurse practitioner cannot write the prescription because according to state law, the doctor's got to do it. The doctors want to keep the monopoly out there. And when you talk to parents, Barney, sit back and go, wait, I need to help out my young kid. Why am I waiting on the doctor to get a prescription? Barney, this is becoming a big issue in the state, correct?
It is. It is. And it's an issue that the Speaker of the House, Jose Oliva, pushed last session. He's pushing it again this year. There is, so from the doctor's perspective, it's an encroachment issue. They think it's the camel's nose under the tent, and they think that nurses play a very vital role, but they think that those nurses should stay within the lane that their education and training has put them in. On the other side, the nurse assistants believe that they're not that much different than PAs, physician assistants, and that they should be able to assist doctors. The problem is, until the doctors agree to that, it's going to probably remain a stalemate. The House has been in favor of allowing the nurse assistants to have a bigger part of the medical practice, but the Senate to date has been against it.
I mean, Roger, this is kind of, I've always found this as a fascinating issue. It's kind of like saying that the general manager of a company, by a directive of the owners, is the only one that can sign off on, let's say, equipment comes in. You got to sign off that it's good to go.
Right.
And now what we're saying is, no, the general manager's not there. The sales associate can sign off just to get the thing going. You know, Barney, is that kind of an, I don't know what an analysis to use, but again, does this really need to be, I mean, some people sit back and go, well, Barney, I mean, I'm sure the lawyer's going to, trial lawyer's going to love this. You know, the nurse is not qualified to write this prescription. You've heard of that, Barney. What's the defense to that?
Well, I think the defense to that is that nurses are going to have to show that they have the proper training and experience to do that. And I think that's a tough battle to make. But remember when we didn't have PAs, decades ago. It took a long time for doctors to accept PAs. It's going to take a long time, I think, for the medical profession to think that nurse assistants are educated enough and trained enough to be able to do that. Common sense tells you that they should be. The question is, are they really trained enough to do that? The other thing is they're going to have to be insured. That's going to be a cost.
Oh, wow.
They're going to have to undertake that cost because there's going to be a liability when a nurse assistant makes a mistake, just like when a PA makes a mistake or an MD makes a mistake.
All right, man.
Not going to be inexpensive.
By the way, real quick, is this going to be proportionately passed, or is it going to be a bigger, or is this going to have to be dealt with every session?
It'll be dealt with every session because it's going to continue as a stalemate. The House is there, but the Senate's not.
This is, I always find this is a fascinating issue when you talk with parents and things like that. So, all right. I've always been real curious about that issue. Anyways, Ed Dean, Barney, always good to have you on. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831. Barney, you want to take some calls?
Yeah.
All right. 831-0600. Let's go to Joy. Hey, Joy, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey,
I don't have
morning.
Long because I got to go clock in. But I'm
go
listening
ahead.
To the conversation, and I'm a nurse, and where I work at a hospital, our nurse practitioners and even our midwives write prescriptions all of the time. The only thing they can't write prescriptions for are narcotics, and some of them can once they get they have to get a special clearance to do that. But our nurse practitioners and midwives write prescriptions all of the time.
So it should be done that way. You like that idea, Joy? It saves time, maybe?
I'm sorry, what was that?
It saves time by allowing it to go through. Do you think the doctor should just be doing it all over 100% on the prescriptions?
No, I think that the nurse practitioner should be able to do that.
Good.
Because, yeah, it saves a lot of time.
Good. Hey, Joy, I'm glad you were able to call in before you got a clock in.
Yeah, thank you. All right, bye.
I appreciate it. So go ahead, Barney.
Well, I think that's very interesting. See, I learned something right now, that nurse practitioners are doing that in the hospital setting. So if they're doing it in the hospital setting, then it raises the legitimate question, why shouldn't it be done in private practice? But again, the same issue is going to still pop up, and that is you're going to have to be insured. Now, when they're at the hospital, they're under the hospital's insurance coverage. But when they're in private practice, that's going to be something that either the MD has to pick up or the nurse assistant has to pick up. Somebody's going to have to pick up because they're going to have to be insured.
Let's go to Ray on line two. Ray, hey, Ray, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ed, Roger.
Hey.
And Bernie, good to talk to you for a change. I finally caught you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, jump in the water, my brother. The water's fine in the Republican Party. I don't agree with everything they're doing, but you think like I do, And I was a registered Democrat coming out of high school years ago. And as time went on, as I matured in my age under Clinton, I finally said, how can I yoke up with this when I saw what was happening then, much less now? It's much more clear now. I don't understand how people that I know that are reasonable thinkers like you and I can continue to support such a thing the way the Democratic Party is going. I feel so much better now, and I support my president. I'm yoked up with people that I think like now, even though I gripe about the Republican some, but I invite you, my friend, to come on over. The water's fine.
Hey, Ray, good to talk to you this morning.
That's great. That's a really nice invitation.
But Barney, tell people why you won't switch.
Well, listen, I won't switch because it gives me the ability to write articles critical of the Democratic Party, and at the bottom it says former executive director of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. I mean, this gentleman is exactly correct, but I still support my president because I voted for him. And the interesting thing is that if you look north of Orlando, maybe even north of, just north of Orlando, you'll see that there are a lot of Democrats that are conservative. And so we are part of the Democratic Party. We're not going to let the liberals drive us out. In fact, there was just a Gallup poll earlier this week, Ed, that showed that people in this country, 35% are conservative.
Yeah, we talked about that.
37% are moderate. And then the minority are liberals. But it's the media, print and on television, that is makes their voice sound disproportionate.
Hold on, real quick. We got time, right, Roger?
Yeah, we do.
Hey, uh-huh. Barney, this is where we get too much, as Roger uses the word, and very correctly, by the way, tribalism. For example, I love watching Judge Judy, because you know why? I see all of these people trying to mooch a lawsuit that are a bunch of lazy people. She puts them in their place, but she's buddies with Mike Bloomberg, and Bloomberg, compared to the rest of the crowd, he's not my typical thing I would want to have every morning for a cup of tea.
He likes big gay ice cream, though.
Yeah, he likes big gay ice cream, but yeah, anyway, but what I'm saying is that's a good one, Raj. But the bottom line, he's more moderate compared to the others, and man, a lot of my Republican friends all head, how could you like Judge Judy? I'm like, wait a second. I don't give a flip who she supports. I like her, and I like her show. Does that mean that if you support Trump, you're in the view of huge deficits? I mean, come on, we got to stop playing this game. Because what happens is, for example, you know, Donald Trump Jr. last week called one of the Senate President, Bill Galvano, a rhino, a fake Republican, because Galvano took money from Bloomberg, you know, for the gun control. I don't agree with that. But overall, Galvano's been good on issues that you and I agree with. You had three Democrats in the Florida House this past week vote in favor of expanding gun rights to schools and churches at private. So does that make the Democrats a bunch of moderates?
And you think of Kimberly Daniels? You know, she's put forth more socially conservative and evangelical causes than any Republican has.
Barney, to me, it's we got to get back into the, it's about the issues, kind of forget maybe the individual. I don't know. Maybe I'm right or wrong. I don't know.
Well, no, I think you have a point there, but I think that what we really have to understand is, look, we're not in a black and white world anymore. It's everything's as shades of gray. And just because you're a Democrat and you have moderate feelings or conservative viewpoint like I do, doesn't mean that we should stay in our party and try to bring it back to reality.
And there is a role for
the same thing is with the Republicans.
And there is a role for bringing about change from within.
Yeah, so, all right.
There is. It's a huge challenge, and we lose our voices. But you know what? Our votes count, and our votes help to put
Trump, you know what we need, Barney? Barney, you know what? I always come up with a bunch of brilliant ideas sometimes because I'm so busy I can't put them to action. But you're right. Technically, we're no longer a black and white. You know what we need? We need to have like a political ancestry.com. That's what we need. Because
I love that.
No, think about it. Because Roger, you know, Roger's black, and Roger's made this point. He goes, you know, should we be, I mean, for example, forget about the political identity. Do we need to know what skin color you are when it comes to the census? Because ancestry.com, Roger has pointed out, it's messed up everything because you may not be 100% black. You may be 40% Jamaican. But what I'm saying is the political ancestry.com for elected officials is like, okay.
It's close to zero number of black Americans who are 100% black.
So what we do is what's their percentage of conservatism? What's their percentage of modernism? So, hey, Barney Bishop, go to the website, barneybishop.com. Good to have you on this morning.
Thanks a lot, Roger and Ned. You guys are great.
All right, brother. Man, a little longer than normal, but some good calls.
Great call, yeah.
Nine, the best part's when the nurses are calling in, right, before they have to go. And I get that all. And by the way, thank you for doing that. I mean, I don't take you for granted. I'm very grateful. 831-0600. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
We're starting to see a little pickup out there. On I-10 eastbound, between 295 and 95, there's some traffic, so add just a few extra minutes. And if you see something on the roads that'll help your friends stay safe, give me a call, 901-SAFE, 901-7233.
Cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon. Our high will be almost 70. This evening, cloudy and an overnight low of 51. Right now, 55 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 31st at 7 p.m., the Jacksonville Icemen take on the Fort Wayne Comets at ViStar Veterans Arena. Saturday, February 1st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, February 1st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. As a sixth-generation jeweler, a question I get a lot is what kind of watch do you wear? The answer's a Rolex, and there are a couple of reasons. First, when my grandfather gave me a gift for graduating from college, he said, "I want you to have something that you'll always remember me for." And he gave me the Rolex watch that I wear today. Now, more than 35 years later, it still runs and looks as good as it did the day I got it, a day I'll never forget. It might be the right time for you to create the same kind of memory, and nothing does it better than a Rolex from Underwoods. Whether it's a lady's or a man's, the watch is waterproof and has the classic good looks that make Rolex the watch people want to own. And at Underwoods, all of our Rolexes carry a 5-year guarantee. So stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra, and let Rolex create a memory for you.
The Ed Dean Extra is the podcast you can catch anytime right after the morning show, Roger, right here on WBOB. What do they have to do?
All you have to do is go to our website, WBOB.com, click Ed Dean Extra, and you can hear Ed and Roger anytime you want, even if it's not during the morning.
And by the way, we talk about issues that normally we missed and didn't talk about on the morning show.
And it's completely unfiltered, and sometimes you'll hear us say things we won't say on the air.
The podcast, Ed Dean Extra. Just go to WBOB.com.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9, Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With local newspapers dwindling in the U.S., some news editors are advocating for government subsidies to keep them alive. The U.S. economy grew at a modest 2.3% rate in 2019, and thousands of Americans have been purged from voter rolls and may not even realize it.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Don't forget, download the website on your smartphones, or just, I should say, go to the website, download the radio app. Once you go to wbob.com, put it on your smartphones, your Android phones, carries anywhere you would like. By the way, it's free and no pop-ups, right?
Yeah.
So it's annoying. Sometimes I have to go to I'm out of the area, and I've got to go to another station or something, and I got to go to their pop-ups for 40 seconds and everything else. 831-0600. Several of you have been emailing me this morning at WBOB.com, and thank you for saying, preach it, Ed, because for years, Roger and I both, Roger more on the radio side. Mine was more as a newspaper reporter. And then I worked for Talk Radio at the same time. Believe it or not, I got the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So while you had to do a bunch of stations, Roger, which gives you a lot more experience, I was working on the one newspaper. I worked for several newspapers, and then I was working on mostly for one radio station. I was able to be blessed for so many years here in the state of Florida.
Right.
And I've always asked this question when I covered economics. Democrats come out and say, We need the inheritance tax. We need to have the estate tax. Jack up the capital gains tax. We need to go back to incomes. Tax increases like 50% back in the 1970s. I'm like, I sit here and I ask, okay, what's the justification? How are we going to pay for all these programs? Well, we'll do it by taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's a blanket that nobody can give you enough money. When Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, even Joe Biden comes out and says that we can cover all that is by jacking up the taxes on billionaires and certain millionaires. Okay, the numbers show that even if you did this, you might fund the government 6 months, maybe 12 months, who knows? And then, of course, the reporters on the other side will always ask the Republicans, well, you guys want these tax cuts. What will it do to the deficit and the spending? And unfortunately, and as much as I'm critical of the Democrats, sometimes the Republicans get caught in this trap because they can't properly defend about, listen, tax cuts do bring in more revenue. We've seen it among the Trump tax cuts. And it's the spending that is doing all this. And the other question I guess I'm getting at where people are, and I'm thank you for this, is like, why are we not having a conversation with the reality and the morality of this going, okay, listen, I pay a property tax, I pay sales tax, I pay gasoline tax. I want to get home, I got to pay an impact fee. I got to get on the roads, I got to pay toll. I got to pay a transportation tax. In Florida, I got to pay a hospital tax.
And tolls.
Yeah, more tolls. There you go. Did I say toll? And my point that I keep asking is, why does the Republicans always fall into this trap? It's my money. Just tell me. Thank you, sir. Man, he came in early today. It's my money, Roger. Why in the world do I need to continue to be taxed and taxed? Why not about the morality? Why is it that because businesses automatically make a profit, automatically we should deduct them and try to take care of everybody else out there? Why can't we have the question about the morality that, okay, I understand looking out for those that are less fortunate, mm-hmm. but how come no one looks out for those that pay the bills?
I like to see taxation and spending as mowing your lawn, okay? It's something you got to do, especially in the summertime.
All right, explain that.
Okay. If you want to set your lawnmower to cut as much grass off of that lawn as you can possibly get, you're not going to have a healthy lawn. Okay, it's going to look
horrible.
You're
going to scalp it. Great point.
You're going to scalp it. It's going to look horrible. You're not going to.
You sound like you know from experience.
One time, you probably are going to have a really good.
Right.
If you consider the grass you cut, the clippings as revenue, it's going to come in good once. And then after that, you're going to be struggling to get your lawn looking
okay,
good a year.
I'm trying to follow you here.
Don't have it set so low where you're scrapping every single blade of grass off the lawn. Have it up a little higher so the lawn can be healthy.
And this has to do with my point.
The point is, if you can look. Compare that to taxation. You don't want to rip off everybody of all the money available because eventually it's not going to be a healthy economy.
I just like the morality part. I mean, listen, real quick. Listen to former McDonald's.
You get my point?
No. Listen to former McDonald's USA CEO. Listen to what Ed Renzi says. He says you got to have profit before the left wants to start doing all this charity.
I think investment in the community is part of the responsibility. The first goal, responsibility of any company is make a profit. Because without profit, there is no charity.
He's exactly right. Folks, it is in their best interest. For example, if a big a homeowners association goes up or a big landmark, hey, let's build some parks, not government, but let's build some tennis courts for the community. That is a partnership. Now, some of it may be a little bit extortionary. We're not going to let you build a housing place. Do you get that? Having said this, it is an investment, but you got to have a profit before you can have charity out there. Well, all these companies, I guess capitalism has such a bad name. And then I'm just all about this discussion. Stop beating up on businesses, especially small businesses. Just, we need to tax them more. It's their money, folks. All right. Coming up next, purging is happening. Vote from the voter rolls. And yes, it's happening in the black community.